Want consistent color for every job? Mylow's Pro Rewards members get a 20% paint discount on future purchases after paint annual qualifying spend reaches $3,000. Plus, order eligible in-stock paint and paint supplies by 2 p.m. for free same-day delivery by 8 p.m. Improving is easy at Lowe's. Excludes spray paint and mist tints. More exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Subject to change. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Same-day delivery valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. Details at Lowe's.com/same-day-delivery.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Welcome back to another episode of The Mac Rumor Show. Hartley, we finally have news. Like, it feels so good to have some things to talk about. Now, granted, we don't know what exactly is going to happen, but we do have some really exciting information. How excited are you for March 4th?
A lot more than I was before this was announced.
Yeah, I mean, March 4th was just another day.
And this seems to be something quite different that Apple is doing here. So Apple announced that they're holding a quote-unquote special experience or Apple experience on March 4th. And they're being quite careful about this language. So they're not calling it an event. You will not see the word event anywhere near this. Yeah. I mean, the media as a whole is calling this an event because it is still a press event, but Apple is not calling this an Apple event. And it's taking place in New York, London, and Shanghai for the media on each continent. And that tells you as well that that is something a little bit different to a normal Apple keynote that takes place at Apple Park.
So before we get into everything and our speculation on what we think is going to happen, I mean, we do have some good sources that seem to want to confirm a couple of things that we think are going to happen on that day. I do have a couple of like housekeeping things I just want to let everyone know. First off, we will not have an episode next week. I'm like 95% sure we're not going to have an episode next week. So for those who are listening now, just don't be upset if you do not see an episode, but we will be back immediately. If something major happens, then we'll try to jump on, but just given schedules and travel logistics, we're just going to have to postpone until the following week. The last thing, I can't ever remember what my other housekeeping thing was. I believe, well, if you don't already know, we have podcast@macrumors.com. That's the email address. Hit us up there for anything. And I think it was just really the fact that we're not going to be around next week. So just wanted to give everybody a heads up. Let's jump right into what we can expect. Now, I was very fortunate enough to receive an invite to this, but I was also very shocked because I just looked at my phone and saw like, you know, join us for this experience on March 4th. So I will be going to the New York portion of it, which is cool. But I still have no idea what's going to happen. But there are obviously leakers and analysts and reporters that seem to think that there could be a number of new things. Which one do you want to start with? Let's start with the low-cost MacBook because that is probably the more interesting one because it's a brand new product, basically, something that does not exist right now. Do you think the low-cost MacBook is going to be one of the portions of this event?
I think it's likely. We had a report yesterday from a well-known Weibo leaker that said that actually this is the thing that is hidden in the invite artwork. We always like talking about that.
Oh, yeah.
The giveaway is apparently the colors. So this invitation, if you've not seen it, it's like discs, like glass discs that are layered 3D that make up an Apple logo. And each disc is a different color. It fades from, I believe it's green, from yellow to green to blue. So that would suggest that we're getting those colors for this low-cost MacBook. And the fun colors have been rumored for quite a while now. And we've heard this from a variety of sources. They all seem to disagree very slightly about what the exact color options will be. But I think it's pretty nailed down that we will get a colorful MacBook for the first time in a very, very long time.
And not just a colorful MacBook, but a cheap colorful MacBook. Because the rumored price point, and we keep seeing this like between $699 and $899, I gotta think it's gotta be $699. If you $899, what is the point of that? At that point, you might as well just get a MacBook Air, because that starts, unless they plan to raise the prices of the MacBook Air alongside this, then I mean, it's gotta be, I feel like it cannot be much more than $699, $750, maybe. What do you think about this price point?
I agree. I think we probably will see it at $699 or at most maybe $799.
Yeah, even that just doesn't hit me well. I don't know. $699 is the one, but go ahead.
It is going to be quite a different device ultimately, and a lot more comparable to something like an iPad Air in terms of its specifications, and actually less powerful than an iPad Air, because of course it's rumored to contain the A18 chip, which is effectively equivalent to an M1, and the iPad Air is about to be upgraded to the M4, so a lot less powerful than the MacBook Air, which itself is moving up, a lot less powerful than the iPad Air, and a lot less powerful than the MacBook Air, which is about to move up to the M5. So between this low-cost MacBook and the M5 MacBook Air, That's four entire chip generations. So that has got to be priced in. Then its lack of Thunderbolt connectivity will also count for something. And presumably, it is also going to have a design that is a little bit older and varies. It's probably not going to be quite as thin as the MacBook Air. And it will have a slightly smaller display. So the rumors now have centered on it having a 12.9-inch display, which is the exact same display size as the so-called 13-inch iPad Air. It isn't actually 13 inches, it's 12.9. Apple just rebranded that screen size to make it a little bit more palatable. And Apple may well call this a 13-inch MacBook Air, but supposedly the panel is 12.9 inches. So that will also be smaller than the MacBook Air that comes in at 13.3. So in every way, this should look and feel quite a lot cheaper. The price really does have to intersect with that.
Yeah, it's supposed to come in an aluminum chassis still. Like you said, the display is going to be an LCD. It's not going to be mini LED. It's not going to be anything. I mean, it's going to be perfectly fine for who this is targeted towards. It's going to be, you know, a lot of people say Chromebooks. I still don't know. Chromebooks are so cheap that I don't know that the people that are buying Chromebooks are still going to want to get into this. But it does make it a little more palatable, because let's say you bought a really high-end Chromebook for $400. Well, if you just spend a couple hundred dollars more, no offense to Chrome OS or whatever they call that now, but Mac OS is infinitely better and you can do way more things and it just becomes more of an advanced machine. Whether schools or, you know, businesses or whoever is using this type of machine thinks it's worth it is another. But I think that this is going to be kind of hard to beat, especially the Windows mid-level, you know, situation that was for enterprise businesses that are buying $500 HP laptops. Like, I would absolutely, if I was in charge of an IT department, be pushing people to get this. This would be so much better, a lot less headaches, hopefully, for those that are in charge of these machines and the fleet of devices that would go out to your employees. But like, I just know that it would be a much stronger, effective option. And then just think about high school students looking to buying something for, you know, their own personal use case, and then maybe they're going to take it to college. Like, there's just so many people that this would be, and it's going to be a great machine. From a design standpoint, I would be really happy if this became a little bit thicker and just kind of looked like those old MacBooks, you know, maybe that like plasticky kind of top, the white and black MacBooks that we used to have. Why not go back to that? You know, save yourself some. People are going to kill me for this. They hate whenever I suggest anything remotely plastic. But, you know, I feel like it kind of brings back an old design, but makes it a little bit newer and fresh. And like, I don't know, there's so many different things you can do with this to save money, keep the cost down and still make it look nice. So I'll be excited to see what it looks like. Effectively, I'm kind of just expecting a slightly different MacBook Air, to be honest with you. So. That's probably,
I agree.
What we're
and I think
get.
This probably will be the most interesting thing that we're looking at here. Yeah. I mean, there are, of course, other devices that are rumored. There's this smart home hub product. There's rumors about security, an Apple security camera. I doubt that's coming yet. I imagine this event is going to be focused around entry-level devices. So out of those, that's largely chip bumps and repackaging hardware that we already know. And while the low-cost MacBook is basically going to be the same thing, it's still an A18 chip. It's not going to have any radical features that we're not already familiar with. But that being said, it still kind of is a bit fresh and a bit new, and presents something that I think a lot of us in the media that will be quite interested to actually see what it's like, and see how popular it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that technically doesn't exist right now. We just don't have a Mac that's at this price point that's going to look like this. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be intriguing. And there are a few, I mean, there's a lot of other devices that could be at this event. There's a couple, really just one more that I'm pretty sure is going to be there. But before we get into all of that, just want to take a quick minute to get a word in from today's sponsor.
Lately, I've been rethinking how I actually use AI in my workflow, especially with how much research and scripting goes into not only this show every week, but you know, I also run the MacRumors.com YouTube channel. And so we make at least 3 videos a week, sometimes more with shorts and everything. And I just bounce between a ton of notes, articles, outlines, different tools to try to connect everything myself. But now I use Claude more like a thinking partner. I can drop in messy notes or a rough script and have it restructure my ideas, go deeper on analysis, and even surface connections across dozens of sources that I would have maybe missed. It feels less like asking for quick answers and more like collaborating with something that understands the full context of what I'm trying to build here. Claude is the AI for minds that doesn't stop at good enough. It's the collaborator that actually understands your entire workflow and thinks with you. Whether you're debugging code at midnight or strategizing your next business move, Claude extends your thinking to tackle the problems that truly matter. So if you're ready to tackle bigger problems, get started with Claude today at claude.ai/Mac. That's claude.ai/Mac. And check out Claude Pro, which includes access to all of the features that I just mentioned in this episode. That's claude.ai/Mac. Thanks, Claude, for sponsoring this episode.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Okay, so one of the other things that I'm pretty sure is going to be happening, I guess we should kind of talk about, this kind of plays the same part here. John Gruber, friend of the show, Daring Fireballs, John Gruber, he guessed that there's going to be an announcement of products on a day-by-day basis via press release leading up to March 4th. And then that March 4th would be the experience for all of the products for people in the media, influencers, creators, et cetera, that whoever Apple decides to invite. Before we get into even what the next thing's going to be, do you buy that? Or do you think that this is going to be all done on one day and then the experience happens, you know, right?
It's hard to say. I mean, it all depends on how much they announce. If all they are going to announce is the low-cost MacBook and the iPhone 17e, then it would make sense to do that on a Monday, Tuesday, and have the experience on the Wednesday. But if they're going to do more than that, if they're going to throw out the iPad Air and entry-level iPad, and they've got the new M5 MacBook Pros too, this feels like a lot to do in press releases each day. And maybe they'll do multiple press releases each day. But part of me just thinks it depends on how much there is. Maybe there really is not going to be a whole lot. And maybe it does all just come on that Wednesday. I mean, there's a lot of stuff now that is very close to launch, like these MacBook Pros, that don't really fit in with the rest of this stuff.
Yeah, I struggle with this because on one hand, I'm like, why would Apple invite people in the media and, you know, creators or whatever to come out and check this out and make it like to the point where they created an event invitation, even though it's not an event. I'm aware it's an experience. Like they, Apple does this for things when there's not an event. And they do this for when there's like the weird one-off events, like the scary fast one or whatever that one was called, the Halloween one that was at night. And they did have people come out to certain, you know, but like to be in New York, London and Shanghai on the same time seems like kind of a lot. Why are we doing this if it's just a low-cost MacBook and MacBook Pro refresh? Like, I feel like it wouldn't be that. One of the other products that's rumored is the iPhone 17e. That is pretty imminent. I think today is actually, so this is Thursday, February 19th while we're recording. I think today is actually the exact one-year anniversary of the iPhone 16e. So there was even a rumor that we were going to get, and I'm sure you would have known by now, that we did not get a press release as of 10:53 a.m. Eastern time. So maybe there's 7 minutes when 11 hits, perhaps we might get it. There was a rumor that it was going to be announced today. I just don't think that's going to happen, especially if it's plans to be at this experience. That's way too much lead up time. So Gruber thinks there's going to be a series of announcements starting with, I think he mentioned it would be the 17E on Monday. So that's that. I also kind of feel like it's going to be a 17E for sure. That's my, like, if I had to put money down, I would bet 17E is going to be part of this. It's just, it's next up. We've heard a lot about
it. The most likely products, I mean, even more than the low-cost MacBook, the iPhone 17E and the M5 Pro and M5 Max MacBook Pros are the devices that seem to be closest to launch. Then we have the sort of next tier, which is this low-cost MacBook, because although this is heavily rumored, we haven't actually seen any like leaked parts, any really concrete leaks that say that this is imminent. And of course, it's not like we can look at inventory and see that the existing product is running out of stock because this is a brand new device. And then I guess after that, the new iPad Air, an entry-level iPad. But then I don't even know, because there's other stuff. Like, we've been hearing about our next generation HomePod mini for literally months.
And
we
Apple
were
TV.
Expecting a new Apple TV and entry-level HomePod right back in like November.
And Studio that never emerged. So that's not going to happen.
Does that mean that that is now imminent? I guess a HomePod mini fits in quite well with these low-cost devices. It wouldn't really shock me. But it's hard to say. I think that we've got this core selection of products that looks like it is most likely, and then maybe there'll be some other surprises along the way. I mean, the most kind of left of field thing that is not actually a product that we definitely should mention is Vision Pro, because there are rumors that Apple is planning a Vision Pro experience for the media on this day, which would make sense, right? Because are you really able to experience the new iPad Air with M4? Not really. So what does an experience actually justify? Well, Vision Pro is an experiential product. And allegedly, or at least the rumor, and this isn't based on any sort of leaked information, this is speculation, but I think it's a pretty good bet that Apple is looking at bringing F1 to the Vision Pro. Which would be particularly immersive. I mean, compare that to something where you're courtside and you just have this sort of panoramic view and you can switch to different views around a pitch or a stadium. That is nowhere near as immersive as actually like being on a driver's car and watching the sport from this perspective. And Apple is said that when they bought the licensing to F1 in North America, that they were going to look at a lot more F1 content. F1 has started appearing a lot more in the TV app. So it looks like this is slowly trickling in. Vision Pro would definitely be the most appropriate platform to create that source of content. And while I think the only thing that goes against that in my mind, because this was another thing that John Gruber was talking about earlier today, is if they've got the rights in North America, that isn't going to work in London or Shanghai. But that isn't to say that they're not still going to demonstrate this or maybe only have that particular part of the experience available in North America.
Yeah, so I mean,
there is. I guess all of this is to say there is a chance that yes, we'll get some new products, but there may be some other stuff too related to Apple TV, or for all we know, there's going to be a Fitness Plus thing in there. It's probably wise to not forget that there is other stuff going on, not just these entry-level products.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I struggle to kind of feel like, because Apple's not calling it an event, and it's not live streamed, it's not as big of a deal as those that are live streamed, obviously. I'm not breaking any news there. But you're having all these people come out to these different locations. There's got to be more than just, you know, a Vision Pro experience and an iPhone 17e, which is why I think that MacBook is going to have. Honestly, if we're going to really put into the whole, you know, like we always do, the event invitations, this is where we need Sam to jump on again and tell us that the event invitations absolutely matter. If they matter, look at the colors. The colors that were rumored for the low-cost MacBook Air, the MacBook. iPad Air fits these colors. They could definitely be in these colors. There's no rumors for the iPhone 17e to gain any colors, but that could be a surprise potentially. I doubt it, but who knows? The HomePod Mini could come in these colors or shades of these colors. Like those things make sense, but it's hard to pinpoint. Now, I did mention a few times that the 17e is probably the one that's going to happen, in my opinion, the most. So we should real quickly just, for those who need a refresher, like what's going to be the new thing with this. And it's honestly not much, but there are some important things. So it is going to get an A19 chip. Last year it had the A18 chip. Personally, don't think if you, I just don't think it's going to matter, but sure. I mean, that's great. It's going to be in line with the rest of it. I mean, the A18 is great. I'm not downplaying the importance of how good these chips are. It's more so saying like they're so good that doesn't really matter. But it is going to get the A19 chip. Okay, that's great. And then the biggest thing is it didn't have MagSafe last year. And this year we have rumors that it's going to get MagSafe. To me, that's huge. That takes away one of the two biggest pain points for me personally from a usage perspective of this device. The third biggest pain point is the price. Unfortunately, the price looks like it's still going to continue to start at $599. I think that's a miss. Should start at $499, in my opinion, at least. But there's nothing I can do about that. But you're getting MagSafe. That's awesome. You no longer need to like get a case and put it on there that has specific magnetic attachment capabilities. It's going to get the MagSafe charging compatibility, which is nice. So that's really good. And then you're going to get Apple's updated C1X and N1 wireless chips. So that's cool. I don't know that many of you will be able to notice any difference, which is a good thing. It's not going to feel
really
any different.
It's for battery life.
Yeah, it's for battery life. And, you know, well, I mean, you think about when the C1 was rumored and we were talks like Apple wasn't going to put it in any of its main phones at first, and it didn't. It put it in the C or in the 16E because they were worried that, you know, yeah, it's going to give you better battery efficiency, but what if it sucks from a data and call perspective? What if your cellular coverage is just terrible because the modem is bad? Turns out it actually is quite good. And now we have them across more devices. So that's a thing that you're going to get. And then, you know, it's still going to have the notch. I don't think it's going to have Dynamic Island. Do you think that maybe it could come with Dynamic Island, or do you think it's going to still be the same?
I would be surprised if it did.
Yeah. So that's really
I think that this is probably enough, considering this is just a small refresh to keep the device at the same price point. It's just a spec bump, ultimately, as are a lot of these devices. I mean, the same goes for the new MacBook Pro models, the same goes for the iPad Air, the same goes for the MacBook Air, the same goes for the entry-level iPad, and even if you really want to, even the same goes for the Mac Studio. Just chip bumps, minor spec bumps, which are important, and if I was looking at buying one of these new devices, or I was due a new device, I would be very pleased that there was a new one coming out, so it isn't to downplay that. But
of course,
there's got to be something with this experience that is a little bit deeper. Because, as I say, just trying out a device with one newer chip generation is not enough to justify an experience. There has to be something a little bit more special here. I imagine we'll get some nicely produced videos for those of us who are not going to be in person at one of these events, for the broader public to be able to see not just the media's perception, but actually what Apple is saying themselves, which will probably be quite keynote style. We've seen those before. So I am intrigued.
definitely for the 17E, I think you'll get a video probably just saying that we have MagSafe now and the updated modems, probably be pretty short. Definitely the low-cost MacBook, because that's a whole entirely new product category, kind of, for the most part, when it comes to the Mac lineup. And then, I don't know, I don't think you'll, if they do update anything else that is like an iPad Air with would that get the M4 chip now? What are we on?
Yes.
Yeah, so the iPad Air with the M4, I don't think you're going to get a video for that. If they do the MacBook Pros, I don't think you're going to get a video for that. Although maybe you could, because they can talk about the Pro and the Max.
MacBook Pro probably justifies it, because the M5 Max we haven't seen.
Exactly.
And especially where the M5 architecture is built around that more powerful neural engine that is optimized for on-device AI, that is far more capable than previous M series chip generations. I think Apple is going to want to say, look at what the M5 Pro and M5 Max can do with on-device AI workflows. So it may even do, usually when they announce these chips, they actually do the chips in a press release separate from the device.
Yeah.
So probably will double up and do a piece on the chips specifically, as well as the new MacBook Pro.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
It would be kind of sick if Apple just dumped the low-cost MacBook, 17E, iPad Air, 12th generation iPad, MacBook Air, MacBook Pro, all at this event. They're like, here you go, guys. Oh, and Apple TV and HomePod Mini. Here you go. Here's all of the things that needed to be refreshed, and we're just dumping them all at one time. And the reason why I leave a couple off the list, Mac Studio and Studio Display, those could come at a later time, to me, where it makes sense. We haven't had hardware. Have we had hardware at WWDC in a while? Like, those two would make sense for hardware at WWDC, because they can talk about the M5 Ultra, if it gets that or whatever, its advantages, and then be like, oh, we also made a new studio display and here's how that's going to work. And I don't know. I feel like they could do that there. The home hub and the security camera could also be at WWDC. I just don't think it's going to be now, even though it was supposed to be now. But because of the delays in 26.4 and it relies heavily on new Siri, I just don't see how in the world it could come out now. There's just no way. But it would be the best part of the experience, that's for sure.
It would be. I really think that Apple would benefit from hosting a kind of Apple Intelligence smart home event later in the year.
Yeah.
And that they've got quite a lot they could unveil with that. They've got the HomePod Mini, which hopefully will support Apple Intelligence, because Siri on that is not very good. You can't even access ChatGPT through it. You've got the Smart Home Hub, which is supposedly wholly dependent on the next generation version of Siri. Then there's this rumored security camera and the Apple TV. That is four products that all focus on the home and all are very Siri-centric. So it would, to me, make sense to actually showcase these together and kind of present this as a more coherent kind of next-generation smart home strategy, which you are right, that would fit in well with WWDC, because especially if we hear more about the Siri chatbot, what Siri is able to do going forward, it would be an opportunity to say, well, this is what the next generation chatbot version of Siri will do on the Mac. You know, it's pretty similar to ChatGPT or whatever. But here's how it actually makes a difference in your day-to-day life with this new smart home hub product. Yeah. That's a way of doing something differently and going a little bit further. Of course, then they actually have to ship that product and ship the next generation version of Siri. So,
well,
maybe
if it's been rumored to... If it's rumored to be ready by now, I mean, you could definitely get away with showcasing it at WWDC and then having it ship later in the year, i.e. iPhone season.
Well, yes, you'd hope so. But I will say that we got iOS 26.4 in beta this week, and I'm really enjoying the next generation version of Siri in that.
I know. Did they say for sure that it was going to be in 26.4, or did they say that it was just going to be at... No, okay. Well,
they said it would be in...
We are doing them the disservice.
Yes, but the fact is that Apple... we know what Apple is doing. We don't know it with a tremendous amount of detail. But through reliable sources like Mark Gurman and Ming-Chi Kuo and all of the others, we build up a picture that is largely accurate. And when sources say that it is in people working inside Apple are telling people outside of Apple, it is in 26.4 in beta. And this is what we hear for 6 months, that is what Apple is aiming for. It may even have been a year. And then it launches with not one of those features, literally not even one. That is concerning. And I would be surprised if it all makes it to 26.5 at this point, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, you just, one time, you talk about some features that are going to come, you say that it's going to launch, and then you don't do it after making an ad with an famous actress, and all of a sudden nobody trusts you. You know, it's just not fair. I'm being sarcastic, by the way. They obviously shouldn't have done that, but there is a little bit of truth to that. It's just like, now we have to kind of be like, well, maybe it might come, but like, they haven't really had a big track record of, well, now I'm starting to think of air power. You know what? I'm just going to stop this one.
The thing that I just can't get over, and this was never meant to be like an Apple Intelligence discussion, but I just can't get over the fact that they unveiled Apple Intelligence when we were still running iOS 17.
Yeah.
It was so long ago.
I like to think that Apple doesn't have a bad history of this. And like, in a nutshell, like when you really boil it down, it's not that bad. It's a pretty good track record of like announcing things and delivering it on them, because most of the time they're pretty cautious to even announce anything that's remotely like not ready to go. But there have been a couple of times, air power, this whole new Siri thing. I'm sure there's other things that Apple has talked about that hasn't happened. But like, for the most part, they have a pretty good track record. But yeah, when it comes to anything software related at this point, I think we're all pretty nervous to say it's definitely going to happen. I will say there's really nothing else that we didn't cover for this event. So largely, we do think it's going to be low-cost MacBook. We do think it's going to be iPhone 17e. Anything after that is kind of a toss-up. It could be a number of different things. So definitely...
MacBook Pro is surely got to be...
You think? Because if it's budgetary devices, that doesn't fit the theme. Unless Apple's but just maybe saying, the MacBook it, there's Pro no theme.
Comes, maybe MacBook Pro comes a week earlier. And it's actually and next week in a press release on Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, listen, I could see it being anything.
They have to announce this MacBook Pro because the current one is like running out of stock around the world. And we are expecting the M6 model in like October. So this could, if they wait much longer, this is going to be such a short-lived device.
Yeah, you're right. So, okay, I just wanted to say, let's wrap up the event because there's one more thing we should talk about, I think, and wasn't on our list, but it's not super blindsiding. We did get 26.4 this week, so we should at least talk about the things that we did get, and some of them are pretty good updates. So I think we didn't even get a chance to talk about this. Are you excited for what you just got in Apple Music, being an Apple Music user?
I am. I think it's all moving in the right direction. I particularly like actually some of the design tweaks.
Yeah, me too.
I like the new sort of full page artwork for albums and playlists. And I haven't had too much chance to play around with the AI generated playlists, but that is a feature that should be there. And as long as that gets more powerful over time, and it can understand my personal taste, and I want to get to a point where I can say, I want songs that will use auto mix to fade into each other particularly well from this genre, from my taste. A super complex request like that, and I want it to be able to do that perfectly. It can't do that right now. It can kind of give you moods and
genres, I'm curious.
Which is cool, but I mean, there's a lot of good Apple Music playlists on there.
Do you want to know what can do that?
Yes. Go on.
Spotify. Yeah. When you said that, I was like, wait a minute. I was in Spotify the other day because I made a video going over the, which by the way, I tested it in two playlists. It did a pretty good job. I actually preferred the music that it picked for me in Apple Music than Spotify. But Spotify did its thing where it's like, you gave me a specific genre. Here are the people that we think you would like in that genre mixed in with some of the people that you already listen to. And I've always praised Spotify for its playlists and how good it is at discoverability for new artists. So I can't really knock them after doing all the praise that they, you know, give you artists that you might not know, but like that they think you would like, because it's been so right in the past. But I am kind of knocking them because I really like the playlist that it made better on Apple Music, just personally from the songs that were on there. But yeah, you can make a prompted playlist on Spotify. I did a head-to-head on it. They both kind of take a long time when you first do it. Like a long time when I say, you know, it was like over a minute, which is, that's not a long time in a nutshell, but like in software, that's an eternity. So they both took forever. Apple Music was a little bit faster, but there is a mixed playlist. It mixes songs with smooth transitions. So I don't know if that's like with the music that I listen to. I'm guessing it is. Like, why would they make me? I guess I could just do this now while we're talking about it. Yeah. So it is all the music that I listen to. Gives you the beats per minute. And it just blends in. That's cool. I actually need to try this. I said this in my video. If you guys want to see me do a full video, 2026, you know, Apple Music for Spotify, which one is better in my opinion, which one I think you should choose. I feel like most people are kind of already a part of one, but let me know in the comments or podcast@macrumors.com email address. Hit us up. I would like to make that video if you guys will actually want to see it. I might just do it anyways, but let me know what types of things you want to see out of that. But yeah, we got that. I've always loved Apple Music's design. It's way better than Spotify, in my opinion. It's just like one seems more like aesthetically pleasing, professional, sleek, and modern. The other one just kind of seems like, here's all the features. Here's like Winamp, you know, back in 2005, like Chrome design. Even though it doesn't look like that, it's just like when you put them side by side, one looks really nice, the other one looks okay, but it's not anywhere near Apple Music. And they made it so much better with like the whole full album artwork. When you go look at the track listings, everything just blends in. It's just as simple as making the colors match the album artwork. Like, it's that type of stuff that looks better, in my opinion. The animated artwork is full screen. It's just, it's nice. So you got some good updates there. And then the other thing, and this directly impacts us and this podcast, there's now support for video podcasts on Apple Podcasts. And so perfect timing, as your video has cut out yet again. You can now watch Hartley come in and out on Apple Podcasts. And so I don't know how this works. I have no idea. Apple hasn't sent, I mean, they did send me an email yesterday that like requires me to take
video
action.
Podcasts have been around for years, right, but they've just never really taken off.
I just don't know what we need to do. Like, people watch video podcasts on YouTube, which is why our video podcast is on YouTube. But I don't put it anywhere else because I don't know how to do that. We have a third-party distributor that takes our podcast audio and dishes it out to everything. Is it as easy as that third-party platform, which is a very large platform? Is it as easy as that company just gaining access to the API and then I just upload the video alongside the audio? Or do I even just need to do that? Maybe I just upload the video and it takes the audio and does its thing, so I only have to upload one file. I have no idea. Do I need to go on Apple's specific, it's iTunes, by the way, which just blows my mind. I have to log in to iTunes to manage our podcast from the podcast app specific side. If I just want to touch Apple only, it's a whole thing. So they sent me an email saying I need to take action on it. I will do that. And maybe it'll give me my answer. I just haven't had a chance to do that. But I'm curious how this works. But for your guys' perspective, if you guys will listen to us on Apple Podcasts, which a lot of people do, you'll now be able to toggle seamlessly between audio and video, which is really cool because we do shoot a video podcast for those who do not know. And you can see my big old dumb face on there. If you'd like to, you can see Hartley's wonderful blue hoodie that he has on and his very nicely coiffed hair at all times. and yeah, I mean, I think that's cool. It, like you said, it's been around. It's nothing groundbreaking, but for Apple Podcasts, it's cool. Like, we finally get that. So I don't know. That's kind of big, I guess. Oh, and there he goes again.
That's what I think about that.
Yeah. He was like, I don't want to be on camera anymore after I just talked about his blue hoodie and coiffed hair. Go ahead. Do you have anything else to offer on this? Or are you just like, yeah?
No, I guess I'm just interested to see if this actually means a video podcast take off. Because I bet that most people don't associate the ability to listen to a podcast and a podcast player with watching the podcast in that same app. It would be kind of cool if it could finally get there. Because, you know, for our purposes, that would be great. We go to the effort of shooting the video. So it would be really nice if there could be a little bit more overlap there. And there are plenty of people that just want to be able to come in and out. You know, depending on what's most convenient, and jump into an episode, you know, when they're on the go or just listening with audio. But at other times, it could be helpful to throw that up on the Apple TV, which itself does have a podcast app.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really good just thing to have. I mean, I'm already shooting the video and taking the time to edit it. So it'd be nice if, like, you know, the thousands of you that listen to this and watch this, there's two different numbers. They're both pretty even, but like, I don't know if those people also ever, I doubt you go back and listen a second time. Why would you put yourself through that? I don't know. But if you do, for some reason, go back and listen a second time, like, I don't know the numbers on this, you know, let's just say we have 1,000 people that watch the podcast and 1,000 people that listen to it. How many of those are going back and forth? Is it directly just that? It's 1,000 different people that are listening. You know, who knows? I have no idea, but it would be nice to kind of get those people to have a blend just to be able to see it if you want to. And that was kind of the biggest feature. I think the Apple Music stuff was bigger, in my opinion. It's nice to see this just from like a We Make a Podcast perspective. And then there was a couple of other things that came out, but I don't remember off the top of my head. Reminders has like an urgent section. RCS, this kind of went under the radar, like end-to-end encrypted messages for RCS, I guess. Does anyone care about that? I don't know.
It's good to have. It's never going to be as exciting as, you know, AI features in Apple Music, This still is a pretty significant update, certainly bigger than the last one.
I agree. All right. Well, that's our show. Reminder, we will most likely not have an episode next week. Please do not panic. We will be back the following week. Actually, we'll be back the following week and we can talk about the event. So, yeah. Let us know what you want to know. And we'll catch you guys in next week's episode.